Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Sefer Ovadia. Our learning, as always, is dedicated to Chayalei Tzva Hagadah Yisrael, to their safety and to their success, to the swift return of all of the hostages, and to the refuah shleima, the healing of all those injured in this war in Gaza. Today we study Sefer Ovadia, one chapter. It's a book of only one chapter, and it's about the kingdom of Edom. Edom sits on the east bank of the Dead Sea and into the Arava, the southern area of Israel, the Jordan Valley, the Rift Valley, all the way down from the Dead Sea towards Eilat. And Chazon Ovadia Koamar Hashem Elokim LeEdom Shmoa Shamanu Meit Hashem V'Tzir Bagoyim Shulach Kuma V'Nakuma Aleha L'Milchama. Let us rise and go to battle against Edom. So this is a prophecy of destruction against Edom. The first thing that we say here is, Hinei katona taticha bagoyim bazoya tamaod, you little despised nation, zadon nibcha hisiyacha, shochni b'chak b'sela, your pride has deceived you, you who live in the cleft of the rocks. Merom shifto, you sit so high, amar b'libo mi yorideni aretz. You say, who can bring me down to the earth? Im tagbia kanesher, but if you go up, even like an eagle, im ben kochavim simchinecha, even if you put your nest amongst the stars, mishom oridchanu Hashem, from there I will take you down. It's clear that Edom think they are absolutely invulnerable, that they are unreachable. In fact, the notion that shochni b'chag v'hasela, you who live on the clefts of the rock, there is in fact a impenetrable fortress called Sela. That's its actual name, in the kingdom of Edom. And Edom, it lives on the crags of the cliffs of the mountains of that area, of the hills of Edom, frequently red hills. So that really works with the name Edom. And it seems like Edom really felt they were, you know, unreachable. What's their sin? What's their great sin? Well, I think we have to look beyond this book in order to fully understand it. But I will say that if you look from Pasuk Chet all the way till Pasuk Tet Vav, the key word all the time is the word Bayom, on the day, on the day. And what day are we actually talking about? Maybe we'll read a little bit together. Pasuk Yud, May Hamas Achecha Yaakov Tchaskescha Busha V'Nichrat La'Olam. Because the violence you exhibited against your brother Yaakov, you should be Tchaskescha Busha. You should be covered with shame, V'Nichrat La'Olam, and you will be destroyed forever. B'Yom Omdecha Mineged, the day that you stood on the other side. B'Yom Shivut Zarim, when strangers carried the captives away. B'Yom Shvut Zarim Chelo V'Nochrim Bau Sharei Sharav V'Al Yisharaim Yadu Goral Gam Atak Echad Mehem. And on that day when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. V'Al Tire B'Yom Achecha B'Yom Nochro V'Al Tismach Lifnei Yehuda B'Yom Ovdam. Don't look on the day of your brother, on the day of his misfortune. And don't rejoice over the people of Yehuda on the day of their destruction, b'yom avdam, v'al tegad el picha b'yom tzara. And on the day of their trouble, don't widen your mouth, don't smile. What's happening here? Okay, what's happening here is very, very clear. This is a book which happened after the Khorban, and the accomplices in the Khorban were in fact the Edomites. And we know this very well from, for example, a chapter like Al Naharot Bavel, Perek Kuf Lamed Zayin, Psalm 137, which talks about
the Churban, the destruction of the temple, and the exiles who are by the rivers of Babylon. Imeshkach Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yemini. If I forget Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play its musical instrument. But in the middle of all of this, we talk about this. Zechor Hashem livnei Edom et Yom Yerushalayim. Remember to the people of Edom, Yom Yerushalayim, the day of Jerusalem's destruction. Ha'omrim, those people who say, Aru, Aru, Arei Yesodba, destroy it to the foundation. In other words, the Edomites were pretty active in the Churban. I'll give you another example. If you look at Eicha, the classic Sefer Kinot, the book which describes the lamentations for the Churban, if you look at the end of chapter 4, you will see, Sisi v'simchi bat Edom, oh, go and rejoice, you daughter of Edom, Yoshevet be'eretz Utz, you who live in the land of Utz. Don't worry, Gamalayich ta'avor kos tishkari v'titari, you're also going to get the poisoned chalice. Tam avonech bat Zion, Jerusalem, you've paid your price, lo yosif lahaglotech, you won't be exiled anymore, but pekad avonech bat Zion, your recompense, your comeuppance has just begun, daughter of Edom, gila al chototaych, for all of your sins. In other words, we find in many of our texts, and this is just a small sample, that Edom were accomplices with the Babylonians. The Babylonians destroyed the temple, but they had the Edomites to give them to do their dirty work, maybe sort of like the Nazis being helped by the Ukrainians or which are ever other cruel nations decided to join alongside them. And therefore, we turn in this sefer and we talk about the utter destruction of Edom, their pride, the fact that they think they are impenetrable, that they will never ever come down. And we say in Pasuk Hey, right, Im ganavim ba'ulach, im shodadei laila, ichnid meta, halo yignavu dayam, im botsrim ba'ulach, halo yashiru olalot. If these came, robbers in the night, oh, how you would be cut off. Wouldn't they have stolen everything? If grape pickers came to you, they wouldn't even leave any grapes, right? In other words, robbers don't take everything. People who pick the grapes, even if they're stealing the grapes, they don't take every single one. But Echnech Basu Esav Nivu Matzbunav, how Esav, you will be ransacked, how your hidden treasures will be pillaged. You are going to be completely and utterly destroyed until nothing is left. And if we mentioned that the word Yom, the day of our destruction, the Yom Edo, the Yom Ovdam, the destruction of the Jewish people, the answer, of course, is going to be in a different day. Verse 15, Ki karov Yom Hashem al kol hagoyim, because the day of the Lord is near for all the nations. Ka'asher asita ya'aselach, we say to Esav, to Edom, that which you did will be done to you. Gumulech yashuv baroshcha, your comeuppance, your deeds will return on your own head. And now, instead of using the word yom, we use the word har, and the word har is going to be said time after time. Ki ka'asher shtitem al har kodshi, just as you drank on my holy hill, says God. Kol yishtu kol ha'goyim tamid v'shatu v'lau v'hayu kol lo hayu. By the way, a lovely alliteration here. V'shatu v'lau v'hayu kol lo hayu. They will drink, and they will be as if they've never been. Uv'har Tzion tiyeh pleita v'haya kodesh. In other words, all the nations will be destroyed, but on the Mount Zion, there will be a remnant, and it will be holy. V'yirshu beit Yaakov et morashehem, and the house of Yaakov will possess those people who dispossess them. V'haya beit Yaakov eish, or beit Yosef lehavda. The house of Jacob will be the fire. The house of Joseph will be the flame. And what will they eat up? Or beit Esav yeh lekash. And Esav will be the stubble, will be the straw. V'dalku bahem v'achlum. The house of Yaakov and the house of Yosef will simply consume Esav. There will be no remnant to the house of Esav because Hashem has spoken. And maybe the most famous pasuk here is Va'alu Moshiim Behar Tzion Ishpot Har Esav, and the saviors will go on to Har Tzion and will judge Har Esav, Vaita Lashem Hamlucha, and the kingdom will be God's. So, to summarize, Edom participated in the Korban. Edom, of course, is descended from Esav. The Jewish people are descended from Yaakov. There should be brotherly relationship between the two kingdoms. We know from history that frequently the relationship was one of phenomenal tension, rivalry, and violence. And here, on the day of our great destruction, Edom were the accomplices to Babel. And this whole prophecy is coming to say, you might be up on your craggy fortresses on the top of the hills, but you will be brought down and the Jewish people will destroy you. I have to say that it wasn't the Jewish people who destroyed Edom. In the end, it was actually the Babylonians themselves. And we know this because carved into the rock face at Sela is a victory etching by the Babylonian forces who eventually destroyed the Edomite kingdom, and it was never really resurrected after that. However, in our tradition, Edom continued, and the Roman Empire were known as Edom by the Jews, and later on when Christianity became the official religion of Rome, suddenly Israel, or Yaakov against Esav, became Israel against Edom, became the Jewish people against Rome. And this is the source of a plethora of Midrashim, that when you see Edom in the Midrash, you know that they're really talking about the Romans. And I'll just mention one phenomenal Midrash which draws on Sefer Ovadia. The Midrash is about Yaakov at the dream of the ladder. And we all know that this ladder is, Yaakov is lying at the foot of the ladder. And there are angels of God who are going up and going down. Now, two questions might be asked. Number one, angels live in the heavens, so shouldn't they be going down and then up? But also, Olim v'yordimbo, are they going up the ladder and down the ladder, or are they going up Jacob and down Jacob's? In other words, the way the Midrash is going to read it is that these angels are not merely angels. They are, so to speak, the alter egos of different nations. And they are actually ascending, taking control over Jacob, and then relinquishing their control. And it says that Yaakov saw the spirit of Bavel go up 70 rungs and came down. Then he saw Media go up 52 rungs. In other words, Bavel controlled us for 70 years. Madai controlled us for 52 years. Yavan, Greece, for 100 years, and then it descended. Olim v'yordim. But Edom, the Roman Empire, Allah, v'lo yada kama. The Roman Empire ascended, and they never knew when it was going to come down. And of course, this Midrash is being written at the very time that the Romans are controlling Eretz Yisrael, and the Romans have not only destroyed our temple, but wreaked havoc with the Jewish community. We know the story of the Asara Harogei Malchut, the 10 martyrs from the rabbis. The Romans were particularly cruel, especially after the Bar Kokhba revolt in the days of Hadrian. Hadrian the Bone Crusher, as the rabbis call him. And they say they see Rome going up and up and up, and he's never coming down. And at that point, Yaakov was afraid, and he said in the Midrash, maybe Rome's never coming down. What does God say? God quotes him, and God quotes him from Obadia. Im tagbia kanesher, even if he soars like the eagle, and we know the eagle was one of the symbols of Rome. Im bein kochavim simkinecha, even if you put your nest amongst the stars, mishom oridchan Hashem. And as the Midrash says, al tirav di Yaakov, don't worry. In other words, Ovadia was used not only in its own historical moment of the post-Chorban Bayit Rishon, of the time after the destruction of the first temple, but even 600 years later, after the destruction of the second temple, Ovadia was still being used as a message about the fact that Rome will not exist forever, but the Jewish people will be there for eternity. That's it for today. Tomorrow we start Sefer Yonah.